Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ozzie, can you just take us through your touchdown there? It didn't seem like there was much space at all for that pass to get in there. Just what did you see and how did it all play out on your end?
Caleb made a good play. I just ran my route and just tried to stay alive, and then, you know, Caleb was able to put the ball in there. I was able to make a play on it.
Score evenings, weeknight 6 till 9.
I'm number 2 coming at you here on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. I'm Anthony Herron. 2 hours to go with you here on Score Evenings. That was the voice of Bears wide receiver Olamide Zaccheaus. Had a really strong game for the Bears the other night. You know, no Roma Dunze in the lineup. A lot of expectation for how big of a role that would mean DJ Moore would have to play in the offense, or Luther Burden really having to step forward. Olamide Zaccheaus was kind of the forgotten man in the receiver core, but a couple of grabs for him, and one of them an absolutely remarkable touchdown grab on one of the great passes that I think we'll see from a Bears quarterback for the touchdown he got from Caleb Williams in the second half of that game. So a lot of excitement there at that moment. Of course, the Bears did not come out with the dub, but still plenty to be, let's call it, hopeful about in this holiday season coming off that second half at Lambeau. Let's go out to the Circle Resort and Casino Hotline, CircleLasVegas.com, where my guy Paulie Papst has some thoughts on the Bears. I'd love to talk to him not only about the Bears, but we'll get into a little bit of college football as well. You can find Paul on Twitter at Paul Papst. What's happening, Paulie?
Bolingbrook legend, it's great to be on with you as always.
I appreciate you, my friend. Paul, of course, the executive producer of the Dan Patrick Show, and you hear him every Saturday here on The Score hosting the tailgate. So that game in Green Bay, I haven't gotten to talk to you about it yet, of course, but just kind of what were your thoughts as you were consuming it, watching it play out, and then how did you feel afterwards from the final result?
Well, it was a really slow start. I mean, everyone knows what they saw. It's just the offense didn't seem to be clicking. I was a little bothered that the running game didn't get a lot of play early after how well it did last week. I thought the second half was really good. The passing game was better. The running game took charge. Manungai is just really hitting his stride. They never really slowed down Jordan Love. Christian Watson, the wide receiver, is really hitting his stride as well. And, you know, a couple, like the missed tackle on Josh Jacobs was a killer.
Yeah.
But the Bears were right in there at the end. And that last play, you know, to Kmet, it reminds me of that play a couple weeks ago where they, you know, Caleb threw that lollipop pass to Kmet and it was a winner. And I think he saw that same play breaking out and just a little late, just that he turned his body and didn't put enough on it. And he went for that play. If he had a do-over, you saw the DJ Moore underneath play, he would have walked in the end zone. There was a few things that bothered me about, like, the time management at the end. I'm still not sure if they would have gone for two or not. But it's weird. Like, I was listening to the score on Monday morning to Mully and Hall, and they didn't seem distraught after the loss, because I think, you know, after last year, the last 2 months have been so refreshing to be a competitive, more than a competitive ball club, that one loss at Green Bay wasn't enough to destroy the past 2 months.
So time management, I was just talking about that a moment ago. We had a caller earlier kind of, you know, asking about that a bit. What were your concerns about the way the clock was managed late?
Well, I understand Ben Johnson. He's being really confident there. He's thinking to himself, I know we could score a touchdown. I don't want to give Jordan Love the ball back. And he was refreshingly honest at his press conference, I think this morning or the day before. He said, I didn't, you know, the way Jordan Love was getting the ball down the field with receivers, I want to leave him no time. It's like peak Mahomes. You don't want to leave him any time. And it wasn't a jab at the defense. It was just a reality of you don't want to give that guy any time. You want to get that touchdown and get it to overtime or whatever you have to do, or go for two and go for the win, which I think he would have done. And so the time management, it wasn't like a mistake like what would have happened last year under Eberflus. It was more so like, what are you holding these timeouts for? But I think it was the right decision. It would have worked out if they got the touchdown.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's that final result ends up kind of sticking in the craw of folks there. And you mentioned Mully and Haw. They weren't pulling their hair out too much Monday morning. And I've been in a similar place with that because of that performance in the second half. And the way I framed it, Paul, was even the blowout win against the reigning Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles from the previous game, for whatever reason, I actually left this game more impressed because the Eagles are playing poorly. And they look bad, and the Bears right. made them look bad and ground them into dust. But the second half of that game against Lambeau, the game in Lambeau against the Packers, where Green Bay played well, and Green Bay is one of the best teams in football, but the Bears still were able to outplay them for much of that second half. I found that, for whatever reason, more impressive because Green Bay played well, and that to me was the Bears looking like they were on par with one of the best teams in football. How'd you evaluate specifically half number two?
Yeah, I agree with you. It didn't feel like a terrible loss. The one thing that does bother you is that it feels like, and I listen to you as more of an expert, it feels like the defensive line cannot get a pass rush without help, without Brisker blitzing, or if Kyler Gordon was healthy, him blitzing. And the defensive backs, as great as they were against the Eagles, it felt like they were a little outplayed, especially by Christian Watson. And it's concerning because now you're playing against high-end teams. But I do think, you know, that nine-day stretch after the win against the Eagles, that was fun to dine out on because that was a national TV game and everyone was talking about the Bears and giving them their flowers that they deserved. I mean, you run for 281 on the Eagles and you could do anything. And that's where I think the total confidence is. Like you said, not being upset about the Green Bay loss. When you look at the running game, which 9-10 weeks ago we thought was going to be the worst part of the Bears, maybe the defensive rush, but the running game is such a refreshingly great part of the team. I think that makes you feel like you beat anybody. I mean, the Rams are a tough team. If you get the Rams in the playoffs, that's going to be brutal. But with that running game, if you could somehow get a lead, and it's not a detriment to the team anymore.
And to be able to do that, you not only got to have that domineering run game, but you want the passing attack to be cooking in the way that it feels like there's potential for it to cook. Where are you at with your evaluation and your hopefulness about Caleb at this point in the season?
Well, I've been saying this for a while. He's a fantastic fourth quarter quarterback. He can make something out of nothing as good as anybody in the league. He's hard to bring down. His sacks are half what they were last year at this time. Now, you still would love to see those check down plays early in the game that just get you a few first downs and things like that. Maybe get you three instead of a punt. And I don't know if that's ever going to completely go away. He's, you know, if you look at Patrick Mahomes, he still gambles. He still goes for plays and doesn't take the easy play. So I would say the refreshing thing is I thought Luther Burden looked great the other day. That play where he caught a little turnaround and he faked in and turned out and got about 9 more yards. That play, I jumped out of my seat because I'm entrenched on my couch when I watch the Bears. I jumped out of my seat. I think I pulled a hammy. And when I saw Luther Burden do that, or when I see Colston Loveland make these catches that if it's near him, he's catching it. And I know DJ Moore needs the ball more and Komet is not the receiver that is a go-to guy anymore, but man, that makes you hopeful for the future, especially Burden.
Yeah. And so I posed this question to listeners earlier, got some responses on the phone line and on the text line. Curious for your thoughts. Is 2025 already a successful season for the Chicago Bears?
Yeah, it is, because I think it was a successful season when you signed Ben Johnson. It was a successful season when you signed three good offensive linemen. And then right now you're in playoff position. Let's put it this way. If they lose the next two games and play themselves out of playoff contention, it will not be a successful season, right? Like Ben Johnson said, we're not in the playoffs yet. You know, we're in playoff position. So up to this point, very successful. It feels like they're ahead of schedule. And it feels like in the free agency off next year, there's less to deal with. You feel like you have defensive backs. You definitely need another pass rusher. But you may not need a running back with this offensive line. You don't need skill position players. You could be a little more frugal at some other positions. So I think at this point, very successful.
Now, I know you don't mind occasionally putting on the pads and having some of the guests that you guys get on the DP show essentially wallop you, which I really respect your willingness to take a pounding on television and on national radio
Thank
when
you.
You're doing those types of things. That being said, Kyle Manungai has occasionally been compared. Just when I've been on the score, whether it's been in the afternoon, on the evenings, a couple of folks have said, man, he reminds me of Walter Payton. My brother literally just texted me a few minutes ago about sweetness. Now, I know you've got multiple Walter Payton ornaments on your Christmas tree as we speak, Paulie. Right. How excited do you get with the way Kyle Manungai runs the rock?
Well, I like that he gets downfield. He is not wasting time. He's not looking for a 40-yard run. He wants to make 5 into 7, 7 into 10, and run someone over. And it's I don't know if I compare him to Payton. He lays people out like Payton used to, but Walter had a little more shimmy, a little more giddy up. But Manungai is it's such a bargain. And remember Isaiah Pacheco, 7th rounder of Rutgers? Uh-huh. What a nice career he's had. Kyle Manungai, I think, makes less than $1 million, and he's having a better career than Ashton Gentry so far. And you look at where the Bears are with the running game. They didn't have to spend at the running back position because they spent on the offensive line. And the Las Vegas Raiders did the opposite. They spent high draft capital to get an expensive running back in Ashton Gentry. And I think he's a really good player. But they gave him one of the worst offensive lines in the league to run behind. That's counterintuitive. You overpay a running back to run behind a bad offensive line, that's just dumb. You spend at the offensive line, and then allows you to take a 7th-round running back and make him one of the best rookie running backs in the league.
It's certainly been that. There's no doubt about it. Continuing our conversation with Paul Papps of not only the Dan Patrick Show, but you hear him every weekend here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, hosting The Tailgate. You can find him on social media at Paul Papst. I mentioned the multiple nice. Ornaments that you have of Walter Payton. Saw you tweeting about that on your Christmas tree. Now, this is just the second year that my family and I have done the real tree or live tree, whichever term you might use for it.
Okay.
And I got to say, I'm a little more on board with it now than I thought I would be. I'd always been a fake tree guy. And when we had the condo downtown in the city, we always got the fake tree. I'd never experienced a real tree before. But I got to say, a couple of years in, okay, I'm starting to get behind what all the fuss is about. Are you a real tree guy or fake tree guy?
Yeah. I'm a complete real tree guy. We go up to Vermont a lot. We get the real tree from Vermont. It's like Chevy Chase in Christmas Vacation. I'm cutting it down. A lot of sap all over the place. But yeah, it's fun for the kids. The smell of the real tree is great. You got to water it. Fake tree is really convenient. But, you know, I was in Chicago the other day over on Wrightwood and Racine, and they were selling trees on the corner. So they're always available in the city. But yeah, I think I have 3 Walter Payton Christmas ornaments. I have 2 on my tree, and 1 is backup in case there's an incident. You always should have 3 Walter Payton ornaments at all times.
It's great holiday advice from Paul Papps on The Score. Now, you guys had Pete Bavakwa on the show, on the DP show, just yesterday, right? I mean, there's a lot of consternation about the college football playoff, and that's normally going to be the case anyway, but specifically now, Notre Dame being left out of the CFP. So you got the 12 teams who've made the field. Notre Dame seemingly was going to be in the field until the last moment. For some reason, neither the Irish nor the Miami Hurricanes played on that decisive championship weekend, but somehow Miami ends up flipping over Notre Dame in the final rankings on Selection Sunday, if you will. What was the tone that you found Pete Bavakwa setting when you guys had him on the show?
I would say he's in disbelief. I don't think Notre Dame should be gifted anything. I know they're a huge brand and they're a very good football team, and I think they're one of the top probably 5 teams in the country and very threatening for the national title. But for weeks, like you said, you're 2 or 3 spots ahead of Miami in the rankings. Both teams don't play last Saturday, and somehow Miami jumps you. I would want an explanation. What happened? You had 6 weeks to do this if you're the playoff committee. Did you rewatch the game? Did you not watch it in the first place? Did you look at them again? you don't need to reevaluate something if you evaluate it in the first place. And it feels like the committee did not. I almost think that they didn't want to be criticized for putting Notre Dame in over Miami when Miami won head-to-head. So they went reverse and did it. I'm not sure I understand it, especially from the format of you have them ranked before Notre Dame above Miami and you flip them at 2 a.m. in a room where we can't see what went on. I would love to know what went on in that room.
You're so experienced at this point. You produce TV, radio at a high level. You've been doing it for years. And one of the things that's been getting a little bit more steam is the discussion of whether or not the weekly rankings release even makes a lot of sense. Like, is the juice worth the squeeze in doing that? And I wasn't even aware, Paul, because we've been for years, everyone's been breaking down the NCAA tournament selection process. And Selection Sunday is such a big deal in hoops. I couldn't have even told you how many people were on the NCAA basketball tournament selection committee because we don't see them every week. Now, you get this top right. 16 the last couple of weeks there, but there's not the same type of controversy to it. Yeah, first four in, last four out. You get some of that, and then we kind of move on to the tournament. I don't know that the TV show that we see every week in November for college football, it doesn't feel like it's worth it to me. How do you evaluate that part of it?
Well, I think they're trying to fill content, and they, you know, I used to work at ESPN, and ESPN mm-hmm. tries to do that selection show or the weekly ranking show at college football, I think every Tuesday night. They're trying to get you to tune in weekly and create more buzz and create more discussion. And it works. It gets ratings and it gets discussion, but it also puts you in a position at the end of the year where we're questioning what went on in the final meeting. And if you look at the playoff committee, there are a bunch of guys who either went to Auburn or they went to Alabama or Michigan mm-hmm. State or blank, blank. They all have some type of built-in bias. If I were building a playoff committee, I would find a lot of people who didn't go to a Division I school. I went to Southern Illinois. I didn't go to a Division I school. Like, weirdly, I'd be the right kind of guy to be on this committee because I don't have a dog in the fight. But there's too many agendas and too many friends of the program that are being involved. So it's never going to go away. I think there will be some difference next year with the college football playoff committee, but they love the bowls. They love what's going on now, and nobody wants to give up their job on a playoff committee, but it's frustrating because the average fan seems like they're out in the dark. They're left out in the cold with not knowing what went on in the room. I call them the Kaiser Soze committee. If you remember Usual Suspects, nobody knows who they are, see them do their work, and you don't know their names.
I love it, man. That is no doubt one of my favorite movies of all time. Last one before I let you run. The Heisman Trophy finalists have been announced. I'm a Heisman voter. I got more texts and phone calls from folks trying to make sure my vote was going to get in yesterday than I've ever gotten before. I submitted my votes, and so we'll see who ends up winning the Heisman Trophy coming up later towards the weekend here. But Fernando Mendoza of Indiana, Diego Pavia of Vanderbilt, Jeremiah Love, running back from Notre Dame, and Julian Sain, the Ohio State quarterback. Those are the finalists for the Heisman. You got to pick mm-hmm. who you think is going to win it.
I think it's going to be Mendoza from Indiana, no problem. And here's the reason. He had a very good year. His stats are very good. They're not all-time like Joe Burrow or even like a Johnny Manziel. But he's the face of the Indiana story, and the Indiana story is fantastic. You're from the same area as I am of Chicago. You remember when Indiana, a good season for them would be 6-5 with Antoine Randall-El. And they were not ever a football school. Every once in a while, they would have a decent season. They'd be like 7-4. They're undefeated. They just beat Ohio State, and they did it with power on the defensive line. They didn't let Ohio State. What country is this we're in? I mean, this is the wildest thing. Indiana's a basketball school our entire lives, and now they're the best team in the country. And it's not like they got lucky into it. So he's the face of the program. It's his Heisman. He will win it on Saturday night.
And like that, he's gone. Paul Pabst of the Tailgate and the DP Show. As always, really love chopping it up with you, man. We'll do it again soon.
Anytime. Thank you, Ant.
That is Paulie Pabst. You see him on the DP Show, executive producer of the Dan Patrick Show, and you hear him here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, hosting the Tailgate. Always a fun conversation. I'm glad that you get to hear him here on the station, but then also, you know, he spreads his wings a little bit, not just the pro sports, talking a lot of college sports as well. So I love doing that, and I'm glad that Paul does also. Now, I did promise you we were going to get to some more Ben Johnson sound and, you know, some of the conversation that's been out there about not only the end of the game, but the development of the quarterback. And there was something Ben Johnson said that he leaned into in a different way than I believe we've ever heard Ben Johnson lean into his opinion on his quarterback. Let's play that for you. I have studs. Rack that up and play it for you next on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Score evenings, weeknight 6 till 9.
I made my cop earlier in the show between my sort of inexperience with the real tree that my family's now been doing for 2 years and getting more accustomed to it, getting more behind the idea, being more impressed with it than I thought I would, and comping that with the Chicago Bears. Got a bunch of texts about that a bit earlier. One person from the 847 said, fam has always had a Frasier fur in the living room. Can't imagine Christmas without it. Hits all the senses as well. Don't mind the sounds of that. Don't mind hitting all the senses when the opportunity is there. And in that comparison with the Bears, one person from the 815 texted, the 2025 Bears are kind of like the 2015 Cubs. They're learning how to win. So they will expect themselves to win next year and for years to come. I can respect that. Now, certainly, I'm behind the idea of the Bears winning this year. But the question I put out to folks a little bit earlier is, do you already view this particular season as a success for the Bears? 312-644-6767. And there's definitely a road this could go down where it won't feel like it anymore. But as of right now, I just think there is so much promise, and I've been so impressed with aspects like inexperienced aspects of this Bears year, and the team success has reached a certain stage. I'm like, yeah, this season has gone much better than I thought it was going to go for the Bears. And maybe I'm just out over my skis and giving them a little too much credit for what they've done to this point. But one of the things that excites me most is this combination of head coach and quarterback. What the Bears have access to between Ben Johnson and the prowess that he's shown not only as an offensive play caller, but as a head coach, as a leader, as a preparer of this team. Been thoroughly impressed with Ben Johnson and also the talents of his quarterback, Caleb Williams, what he has the ability to harness in his QB. And one of the things that I dig about Ben, because I'm kind of like this myself, and it's not always my best feature, but I can be short on praise at times with people who are in my life, people who are around me, people who work with me. I'm always very polite, but I don't go out of my way to just shower folks with praise. And I could certainly get better about that. But Ben Johnson, as a coach, he's very similar in that way. But one of the things he said to the media yesterday about the potential for his quarterback and how dangerous he believes Caleb can be hit my ears in a bit of a different way.
Another game with Caleb where we see a lot of the really high potential, but we also see him struggle for a stretch. Do you identify any reasons for the inconsistency? And when do you think it's reasonable to expect him to level out?
Yeah, there's certainly some that you talk about each week where feel like guys are open and we can certainly give them the ball on time and give them a chance to run after catch and all that. And then there's that mix of, oh my gosh, that's one of the most incredible plays I've ever seen in my life type deal with him. So I do acknowledge your point there. And that's something we're striving to do is combine both of those worlds to where we think we're going to have a really good quarterback in this league, really dangerous quarterback in this league, really dangerous offense, really good team for a long time when we're really able to combine both of those thought processes. So we're not quite there yet. We're working diligently every day. I've said it every week that you see growth in so many other areas that I think when that last little bit comes along, I think we're going to be really pleased with where we are.
I'm honestly kind of surprised that that quote hasn't gotten more run. And unless I've missed it, Studs, like have people been reacting in a big way to that? Because this is the first time I believe we've heard Ben Johnson lean into the future of Caleb Williams paired with him and the Chicago Bears and where this franchise will go. Now, it's not like he gushed and said, yeah, we got a Hall of Fame quarterback or we got the most special guy in the league. But when we're all kind of learning to speak Ben Johnson at this point, and I don't know that we're completely fluent yet, but I would imagine we can all agree he's not a guy who goes out of his way to overtly praise his players in this really robust manner. They have to kind of earn it, and they've certainly been earning it throughout the season, and his quarterback has been earning it throughout the season. And it's not just about the production or the lack thereof or the consistency, the inconsistency that's there on game day, but the other 6 days of the week that Ben Johnson is watching Caleb Williams as a worker, as a preparer, as a leader, and all those things that have gotten Caleb to the point that not only he's at, but that this Bears offense is at. I talk about window dressing and eye candy and the variance in snap count that was there. Like, think about being on the road at Lambeau Field in a hostile stadium. And yes, shout out to some of the Bears fans that were there too, but a very hostile road environment, loud as all get out. And the Bears were able to vary the snap count. And one of the things that's a little bit underappreciated that's begun happening more and more just over the last couple of weeks here, the varying in timing and rhythm, not of the passing game, but of the snap of the football. Early in the season, yeah, guys going in motion, they're trying to run jet sweep, and they could barely get a handoff, timed up properly sometimes because of all the machinations in a Ben Johnson offense. But watch the tight ends as they go in motion. Watch the receivers as they go in motion sometimes. A lot of, historically, traditionally in football, and frankly, the majority of offenses in football still, When you bring a guy in motion, yes, you may bring him in one direction and whip him back across, but normally the football is getting snapped either just before or just after the motion man crosses the plane of the quarterback and or of the center. Right now, what you've seen the Bears begin doing over the last couple of weeks, especially when a player is getting ready to insert as a blocker into the formation, they'll time up that motion in really unique ways where sometimes they're just outside the tackle box. Sometimes they're just inside the tackle box. Sometimes they're whipping back and forth across the formation. Sometimes they're moving slightly backwards as they cross the plane of the quarterback. And there's variance in the timing of the motion. It's one of those things that's very easy to miss, but it's something the Bears offense has begun doing. And that area of growth with the ability for whether it's been Smythe or Loveland or Komet or Moore or Burden and all these different players coming from different areas of the field and bringing them in motion from all these different angles and having the snap time up in a variety of ways that suits the specific play that's called in that moment and situation in the game. Your brain is going through hula hoops trying to have all this stuff in sync, and Caleb's pulling all of those things off. So there's a degree of respect and deference and confidence that Ben Johnson is now talking about his quarterback with that wasn't there yet early in the season. And that to me is really indicative of what Caleb has done, not only on game day, but in preparation leading up to game day, that's really earned the respect of his head coach. And that quote from Ben Johnson really stood out to me. I don't know if it hit your ears in a similar way, Studs.
It did hit my ears in similar ways, but I agree with you. I haven't seen people discussing it as much. I really liked what I heard there. And I feel like this is not the first time in recent weeks we've heard Ben praise Caleb and kind of say, hey, you know, guys, he's made a lot of progress and it's going to click. I'm paraphrasing now. Going to click. Like, it's going to click soon. His process is really clean. He's gotten way better at the pre-snap stuff, which seems to be pretty clean at this point. I mean, they had the one false start against the Packers, right? So that's been a lot better. And yeah, I agree. Like, I think that it's going to click. We don't know when. It might be against the Browns. It might be in a couple weeks against the Niners. It might be against the Packers a second time around. It's going to click. And when it does, I think it's going to be brilliant.
One of the top NFL reporters and hosts in the industry will be joining us next because Lindsay Rhodes knows this league inside and out. Looking forward to talking to her not only about the Bears-Packers game, but some of the league-wide storylines, like a grandpa coming out of retirement. Should probably be helpful. Give it a little bit of a preview on the Bears' next opponent as well. Get out of the way and get Lindsay Rhodes on the hotline here next. I'm Anthony Heron. This is Score Evenings. But before I get to this break, I want to let you know, a little contest that you can take part in here. Be caller number 6 right now for your chance to win tickets to Football After Dark at Moretti's in Edison Park next Tuesday, December 16th, with special guest Noah Sewell and hosted by Layla Rahimi. It's all sponsored by TimberTech Decking and Railing, number one in premium decking. Order free samples at TimberTech.com. And brought to you by Remy Martin VSOP, this is my city. Caller number 6 right now. I'm Anthony Heron. This is Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Yeah, I think Ben said he had a big guy touchdown teed up to Theo. Obviously, Theo got taken away on that play, and he had something over on the other side.
Yep.
How does that unfold for you? Obviously, going there first, and then
If Theo popped, just give him a good ball. Don't kill him with the ball, and they end up covering him down, and then just went through my other reads, and Colson ended up popping open. Not tough at all. Just got to give him a better ball. Thank you too much.
Score evenings, weeknight 6 till 9.
Caleb is kind of casual, nonchalant. Not tough about it. Just thinking too much. I'm Anthony Herron. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. That was your Bears quarterback, Caleb Williams, after the game on Sunday, after the defeat at the hands of their rival Green Bay Packers. And we had seen five different times that Caleb was able to lead a decisive game-winning touchdown drive. They came up short on Sunday in Green Bay. So to discuss not only the Bears, but the NFL at large, let's go out to the hotline with an old friend of mine, Lindsay Rhodes, who is a host for Sumer Sports at this point. You can find her on social media at Lindsay_Rhodes, one of the great NFL minds who's covered this league for quite some time. She joins me on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Lindsay, what's happening?
Hi, it's so good to talk to you. It's been so long.
I know, it has been a minute, and I'm looking forward to this conversation because I think our perspective in Chicago gets really insular, just kind of micro-analyzing every individual moment of every individual drive. And so much of it with these various first-round quarterbacks of recent vintage have been in defeat. So I found it a bit refreshing this season, Lindsay, to have the Bears in winning games while still a quarterback that's kind of learning on the job here. But it does seem to take a little bit of the hyper-analysis of every series and ramp it down a little bit because the Bears have been winning games. What have been your observations just over the years of high-level quarterbacks, and especially a guy in Caleb Williams' position and number one overall pick playing early, and how we go about having that conversation with their development?
Yeah, I think it's so important to level set expectations for rookie quarterbacks. Every once in a while you have somebody who comes out of the gate and it all clicks. But even in Washington this year, we're seeing a regression with CJ Stroud. We saw a regression. It's not often that rookies just enter the league and they're firing on all cylinders and that's it. And that's where we go from there. Like Cam Ward, I was just having a different conversation earlier today about Cam Ward. And we were talking about the Titans in the draft. And I was like, yeah, well, they're not looking for a quarterback. And the person was like, wait, they're not? Because he's played terribly. I'm like, oh God, no. Like, it, 1 year in after taking the number one overall pick, and that's a quarterback, like, you're giving him time. That is what we've seen from Cam Ward to a degree is what we expect from rookie quarterbacks, right? Like, there is a development curve. It does take a minute to transition to the NFL and the speed of the play. And that was one of the things I saw from Caleb last year, is I felt like my takeaway from last season with him was he just needed to get a better feel for how much time he actually had in the pocket and when to stay in the pocket. And like, just the differences from the NFL, from college to the NFL. And I think that we've seen a lot of progression this year, and rookie years are roller coasters, and you kind of expect that, and you set it aside and you say, okay, now we know what we need to get better at. And then do we see progression? Do we see learning from mistakes and making different mistakes, but not the same ones over and over again? And I think that we've seen that from Caleb. I think we've seen a lot more of the things that we saw from him at USC that made him special this season. I think that's undeniable. And I am a USC fan. I went to USC, so I saw a lot of him at USC. And what you guys have seen there is like what made me so sure that he was going to be a good quarterback in this league. He does things that most quarterbacks just cannot do. And the only comp out there for the things that he can do is Patrick Mahomes, right? He's that guy who can run right, throw across his body off platform and sling it all the way to the opposite sideline, like on a rope. Like, he just makes plays that you're like, how did he do that? So that skill set just needed to find a rhythm of the offense. And I think we're still in a process of doing that, but like, his sack rate has come way down, which tells me that we're seeing him, you know, get a feel for how much time he actually has in the pocket when he does need to throw it away. And certainly the changes that the Bears made on the offensive line this offseason have helped in that regard, I think, a great degree.
No doubt. The interior of that offensive line, the experience that they brought in there, it took a few weeks for it to gel, but it certainly has, especially with the run game that the Bears have running here, one of the tops in the NFL. And part of that, of course, by design from Ben Johnson. And, you know, Ben Johnson went out of his way to name check, to mention Packers coach Matt LaFleur in his opening press conference when he got here to Chicago. So it was a bit of red meat for Bears fans. But now this was the first time we got to see them compete as head coaches. LaFleur ends up getting the upper hand as the Packers win the game. But did that stand out to you in a certain way? I mean, how frequently do we see head coaches willing to kind of, at least from Ben Johnson's perspective, willing to kind of, you know, name check the opponent in a really competitive way?
Well, I mean, I to a degree, I just write that off as being honest. Like, we want, to a degree, we want people to be authentic, right? So to acknowledge that there's a challenge presented here, I think is just authentic. Like, if you can be authentic without being disrespectful, I don't think that that's hugely problematic. I think that these are two very good coaches. And I think what we saw over the weekend in that game is a sign that we are headed towards like a new era of competitiveness for the Chicago Bears. I mean, you couldn't obviously be disappointed for, you know, clear reasons in the division about losing the game, but you can also, to a degree, not make excuses, but explain some of the things that weren't there. You know, you're down a few players that maybe would have, you know, changed things a little bit in a few different spots. And so you can kind of say, hey, and we still hung with them. And when you are the team that is on the rise, the ability to hang with the Packers and be ahead of the Lions in the standings right now. I mean, this NFC North is so insane right now. Like, and that's one of my takeaways this season. You look at like the AFC North for so long has been so strong, and obviously it's a down year for the AFC North, but and I think a lot of that has to do with injuries and some other stuff there that feels a little bit fluky, but also like Pittsburgh's not what Pittsburgh has been historically and what's going on with the Ravens. But the NFC North feels like it's becoming like the division, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Minnesota is having a weird year at quarterback, and so they're going to have to figure that out. But they're just a year away from having been a very, very relevant team. And now you've got Chicago and Detroit and Green Bay. And I think all four of those franchises, I mean, that's a big if to settle the quarterback problem in Minnesota. But just like we saw plugging in Sam Darnold there last year, there's so much healthy environment kind of surrounding that that makes me feel more optimistic for them that they'll be able to find something at that position next year. And then it just becomes a really fun division to follow.
My guest right now on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline is Lindsay Rhodes of Sumer Sports. You can find her on social media at Lindsay_Rhodes. Download the Circus Sports app today. And the NFC at large, when you're thinking about the way the Rams are performing, the way the Seahawks are performing, both at 10-3, Rams have the head-to-head over them right now. But the last two games the Bears have played against the Eagles and the Packers, the victory over the Eagles was magnificent. And to blow them out on the road and have the nation begin talking about them after that island game has been fun in Chicago. I left more impressed with the loss in Green Bay because the Packers are actually playing well. Yeah. What can you tell what's going on in Philly? What's happening with the Eagles right now?
I mean, if I could, I think that they'd probably give me a lot of money to go in and kind of settle a few things. There, it's such a weird situation because for a majority of this season, I've kind of hit pause on being worried because, first of all, for the majority of the season, we've you know, we're wringing our hands in consternation about how the offense just doesn't look the same and what's going on. AJ Brown, how come they can't get him involved? And then there they are at the top of the NFC still winning games. So there's part of me that feels like cut and paste, and we just like do this every year with Philadelphia to a degree, like on the offensive side of the ball. I feel like we've been here before. It's like full deja vu with the AJ Brown situation. And so I don't know why it takes them so long to kind of just get on the same page and why we go through so much of this midseason drama with them every year, but they just have so much talent on that roster. And I mean, I know everyone's so sick of talking about Howie Roseman and the health of the franchise, but like, I mean, Howie and Les Snead, I don't know that there's anybody doing it better than either of those two guys. Mm. And so there's part of me that, I mean, no, I don't have an explanation for it, but I also just feel like, man, you get to the postseason and they're so experienced. You know, the NFC top to bottom is, I mean, everybody knows this. I'm not breaking any news. It's like all the good teams in the NFC. I don't know what's going on in the AFC. There is not a single AFC team that I feel incredibly confident saying, like, that's my team, which is why even though they're fumbling outside the playoff mix right now, I'm like, I'm not done with the Chiefs because I'm like, if they can get in, man, I don't know. They've been there, and it's just such a down year for that conference. But the NFC top to bottom is just so full of really, really strong teams who have really obvious strengths, and like the glaring weaknesses, I think, are fewer and farther between. So it's an interesting year to try and figure out who's going to come out of that particular conference. And I would imagine that whoever does will probably be a pretty heavy favorite in the Super Bowl.
And so even though the Bears, there's only I think three teams in the NFC with better records, but between tiebreakers, division leaders, the Bears fall from the one seed to the seventh seed after that loss in Green Bay. Out of all the rich depth that's there in the NFC, is there a team right now that's kind of your pick to click?
Are you saying like out of the NFC, do I have a favorite?
Right, yes.
Or, the Rams. I mean, you mentioned it. I think the Rams are in so many ways so strong. We just taped today a podcast that will air tomorrow for Sumer Sports, wherever you get your podcasts, the Sumer Sports Show. We did the Pro Bowl ballots are out, as I'm sure that you know. And so we went through our Sumer scores, which is our own scoring metric, and went through like the top six players at every position. And the number of times that we mentioned players from the Rams is absurd. And by the way, Matthew Stafford's not even one of them. Stafford was not one of the top six scoring quarterbacks in our metric. But they're just littered with people who are, and they're names that are not household names that people are less familiar with. And so I think people at this point in the season are pretty aware of what the Rams are doing and how well they're playing. And I think that the Panthers' loss was just, you know, variance, and sometimes that happens. But like the second that it happened, I was like, okay, I'm not worried about that moving forward for the Rams. I think that they just have such a strong offense. They have such a strong defense. The coaching is, you have faith that they're going to continue to put them in good positions. Their front office, I already mentioned Les Snead's name in terms of roster building. I think that they just have such a strong, healthy franchise with a strong take about how to build a team, right? Like, they don't feel like they're flailing. They feel like, I mean, you're aware they don't go to the combine because they sort of a few years back said like, hey, we've always done this, but let's really evaluate whether or not we should continue to do that. And I think that that is that willingness to take a step back and say, is this actually the most productive way to spend our time? Is this actually the best way to move forward? I think that's a sign of a healthy franchise when you're able to kind of check yourself and do a little self-scouting and then pivot wildly if you feel like that's necessary. And I think that that's part of the reason that they've compiled the roster that they have. But the point that I was trying to make about the Sumer Score leaders and the fact that they have so many players in the top six at their individual positions that are not household names tells me it's not just that Sean McVay is coaching a good team. Like, they are legitimately talented across the board at all of these different positions in ways that most people sitting on their couch on Sundays don't even know.
And you really hope for that combination, a fantastic head coach, a really detailed general manager, roster, yeah, talent, coaching, development, schematics, all of it comes together really well with the Rams. You're hoping the Bears continue to show they can move in that direction. No surprise, fantastic, sensational stuff, Lindsay. As always, great to talk to you. Appreciate you taking the time with me tonight.
So good to talk to you. Thank you so much, Anthony. I'm happy for all your success.
Thanks a lot. That is Lindsay Rhodes of Sumer Sports. You can find her on social media at Lindsay_Rhodes. A couple of the Ben Johnson clips I want to get to. We will get some baseball talk going in the final hour as well with our guy Bruce Levine. Also, some other funny texts came in about a couple of the questions I posed earlier in the show that I will get to on the text line, comparing the Bears with the real tree in my household here with the family. And there was a couple of really bright spots that I found from the game the other day in defeat. Surprisingly enough, on defense. I'll tell you exactly why. We'll do that in the final hour. I'm Anthony Herron. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.